This is another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie with your host, Tofu Dave, on your community radio station, WCOM 103.5 Chapel Hill. And Caro, today we're going to be speaking to Brooke Allen, who just came out on Tivoli Books with a new collection of essays called Good Bones. Good afternoon, Brooke.
Hi.
Great to have you here. I'm excited. I've got so much to ask you. And I want to introduce my first question with telling our highly educated and well-read listeners that you've written a bunch of other books. I'm ashamed to say none of which I've read, but the titles intrigue me. The latest being 20th Century Attitudes, Literary Powers in Uncertain Times. You also wrote Artistic License, Three Centuries, which is 300 years of good writing and bad behavior. I can relate to that. And you also wrote Moral Minority Are Skeptical, Founding Fathers. So just taking those first few titles, very provocative, a lot to talk about. And in the introduction to your latest collection, you seem to lament the state of, I don't know if I should say the reading public, but certainly you lament the state of literature these days. Could you tell me what you're talking about there?
Well, I mean, I think plenty of people notice this, people who like to read and read carefully. But I taught at Bennington College for about 10 years, and I could see the falling off happening during the 10 years I was there. When I got there in 2010 or so, I had fabulously enthusiastic students, and they read everything. You gave them frontwards and backwards. And then over the course of the 10 years, as the cell phones took over, and the screens took over more and more between 2010 and 2020, everybody's concentration just went down the toilet. And I've noticed that among even people my age, which is almost 70, who are lifelong readers, they're saying the same thing. They're saying they can't concentrate the way they used to. They're too fragmented. Their attention isn't there.
So they're not reading books then?
Not so much.
Videos or reading, what is it, that 140 character limit, or so to speak, something like that?
Well, I think surely the short form video, and I keep hearing about this, is sort of taking over even in journalism, that people like the major newspapers are now turning to that as the sort of the language of the future, and really the present too. I had a very interesting experience teaching for several years at a men's maximum security prison. And these guys have no access to any devices of any description. And they all concentrated like crazy. You could have a 3-hour class and they kept total focus. Their attention was still good, but the rest of the world seems to have sort of fallen apart with that. It's really sad. It's too bad. And complicated novels require a lot of concentration.
And your whole collection of essays are essays about, I think, complicated novels. But, you know, you're also raising another interesting point. I've also worked in a local prison. And, you know, then you get into also culture, class, economics, mm-hmm. and all this discussion. And one thing I underlined in your preface to your new book was that you talk about a radical social leveling that has occurred in the 21st century. Humanity has been crudely divided into elites and non-elites. Talk about that, because I'm sort of a closet Marxist, and a closet Marxist like me might say, well, humanity has always been divided into elites and non-elites. So what's new?
It always has been, and it always will be. But there is a great sort of moral onus right now against people that are considered elite. And real literature doesn't make that distinction. It's concerned with people of every class and the interactions of people with it in every class. And it tends not to be, you know, the best novels tend not to be too didactic. And there is a sort of moral judgment that goes on at this moment about anybody who's, you know, privileged, to use a sort of catchphrase of our era, which doesn't make for easy or you can't take that attitude if you're going to read a novel. Everybody is human. Mm-hmm. People aren't divided into
You're sort of then arguing that everybody can read, quote, the great literature, the classics of literature.
Well, if you read Tolstoy, for example, you know, let's take a story like Master and Man. You get the master, you get the man. They're both human. They're both worthy of our respect as human beings. The same goes if you read War and Peace. You've got your aristocrats, you've got your army generals, you have your common soldiers, you have all these people, and they're all human beings. They're not, the aristocrats aren't castigated for being aristocratic. It's not their fault. That's who they are in the world. People there is a sort of a crude way of looking at social relations now. And good novels are complicated. They have people of every description in them. They are largely concerned, 19th and 20th century ones, with social distinctions. And whether we like them or not, social distinctions exist. And I think, as I said in the preface, we have our own, as you say, we have our own social distinctions, which are very pervasive. And God knows we're a society divided between rich and poor, more so than we were 50 years ago.
Well, let's dive into some of these questions of high literature. And I have to tell my listeners, I like to think I'm well read, but I have not read all the authors in your book. One example, to stay a little bit on this question of a social class and upper class, lower class, is you have a chapter called The Art of Exile, and it's about Horton Foote and the staying power of Horton Foote, who is somebody, frankly, I never knew the name of, so I've obviously seen some plays and even movies that Horton Foote wrote, was the writer for, but I never knew his name. And what caught my eye is you mentioned some of his plays, and the one that popped out at me as provocative was you said that this playwright wrote a play called Dividing the Estate.
Oh, yeah.
1989, first performed in 2007, and you go on to say that this is, quote, the play Marx and Engels might have written if they'd had a sense of humor. That got to me. And there were so many times in my life when I've been engaged in discussions or union actions where I said, geez, people have a sense of humor here. What struck you in saying that? It was such a great phrase.
Well, it's so wonderful. I mean, I remember the night I went to see it very well, because my family is also from Horton Foote, Texan, and he's writing about East Texas all the time. I went with my father and my cousin, and they're all from Virginia. And it's the same sensibility with this, the family, the matriarch dies, the family is all waiting to get the money and divide up the estate. And you see how this family that's been very well off and that the estate has paid for everybody, how it's really ruined them all. It's destroyed them all. It hasn't sustained them, supported them. It's destroyed their independence, their initiative, all those things, and their characters. So yes, it is a play that, you know, a Marxist would read and be satisfied with. It's also very funny, because my father and my cousin all said, oh, it's just like our family. But then when we thought about it, you know, it's actually quite different, but Horton Foote's one of those incredible writers where he writes about his own people, but it also is everybody you know.
Right,
it's totally universal.
And that's sort of the best literature, isn't it? Classic or modern.
Yes, exactly.
You can see yourself or people you know.
Right, and you say, oh, that's just like my mother. And then you think, well, no, it's nothing like my mother, but it is.
Right.
Yes. And he's superlative in that way. And he's such a delicate writer, so sensitive, so funny. Never the big laugh, always the small ones. And, you know, you laugh, there's a laugh on every minute, but at the same time, the overall thing is sad.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking yes, I know what you mean. And we're talking to Brooke Allen, the author of the new collection, Good Bones, out on Tivoli Books. You're on Between the Covers. Look, we're really racing here. We don't have much more time, but I want to turn to something else that struck me in the book. You've got another chapter on a poet I didn't know, to be honest, John Betjeman. And what I liked struck me in that essay was your, rant against the differentiation of major poets from minor poets. And I think we have the same thing generally in reading novels and fiction. We have what are considered important or major or historically important fiction, and then a lot of forms that many people consider, that's minor fiction. That's romance or fantasy or sci-fi and meaningless. Don't waste time on it. Talk a minute about what got you so, if angry is the right word, or critical of this differentiation between major and minor poetry.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing I have about movies. Sometimes I see that the Oscars are never won by comedies. They're always some serious movie, and yet 30 or 40 years later, the comedies are still alive, and the serious movie that won the Oscar is dead. I think over the course of 50 or 100 or 200 years, the reputation of artists will change. And we're now, 140 years on? But I think it's safe to say that Sherlock Holmes and Conan Doyle have aged better than most of the so-called serious novels from then, and people will continue to read them for another 100 or 200 years. Somebody like John Betjeman he wasn't trying to be a major poet. He was a light poet, and he wrote about architecture, and he wrote about nature, and he wrote about daily life, a lot of his comic. But he spoke to everyone, and he was the poet laureate of England. Now he's forgotten because so much of... he's not forgotten in England, but he is here, and he will be in England before long because the world he wrote about is disappearing so quickly.
Brooke Allen, the author of Good Bones, Glorious Relics from the Age of Reading. There's so much more I want to talk to you about, and we are just running out of time. I want my readers to know, listeners, I mean, who read. There's a great essay also on translations of Madame Bovary, which is well worth reading, and really great discussion you have there of nuances in translations that are really well illustrated. I think my listeners would really appreciate reading that and so much more. Professor Allen, thank you so much for being with us today. Any last words for our educated Chapel Hill listening audience?
Keep giving books to your children. Don't give them the screen when they get bored or get turned into a pain in the neck. Just keep giving them books and read out loud to them. I don't think there's anything better you can do in terms of educating and bringing up your kids.
Thank you, Brooke Allen, author of Good Bones, Glorious Relics from the Age of Reading, and good advice for the audience on Between the Covers, another literature quickie with your host, Tofu Dave. Stay tuned and be back with me next week for another quickie.